Dr. John Warwick Montgomery says, "A secular world desperately needs thinking, rational Christians." This month, read more from Dr. Montgomery and other experts on science and theology by subscribing to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
If you open up your Bible to just about the very middle and you find yourself there in, well, just about the middle geographically of the Psalms, up in the 100s, early 100s, you're going to have some very long Psalms. The longest one is 119. It goes on for 176 verses and page after page after page. Longest Psalm in all of the book. And then, immediately after that longest of Psalms, the Psalms get really short, down to 5, 6, 7 verses, maybe 8 if it goes on longer. And they all have kind of a common theme, and one of them is assigned for this coming Sunday, Psalm 130, under the title, "My Soul Waits for the Lord," one of those Psalms of ascents that doesn't begin up on the heights, it begins down in the depths. And it sounds a lot like Lent. We're going to be looking at it and finding Christ in the Old Testament in our series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on this Thursday afternoon, March the 30th. Brian is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be here, Todd.
There are about a dozen of these things, these songs of ascents. What are they and how does Psalm 130 fit within their context?
Well, these are songs of ascent. This is to ascend up. This is to go to Mount Zion. Mount Zion, of course, is the place where God dwells with his people. This is Emmanuel. This is the one who is with his people to bestow his holiness upon them, to forgive their sins, to pardon their iniquities. And where does this take place? Well, it takes place at a location. It's at the temple. This is the place of grace. This is where God's face is, where the people would draw near to God and God would forgive them, that they would stand in his presence. And so these songs of ascent, these are from Psalms 120 out the way to Psalm 134, and this is when you are ascending to the temple, when you're going up to the temple. These are psalms that would be chanted by the Levitical choirs that are there at the temple. These would be psalms that are probably in your head as you're going to and fro from the temple. Now, the whole idea of going up, this goes all the way back to Exodus 34, where we are told that when they go into the Promised Land, Moses is laying everything out before them, that in the Promised Land there will be a place where God's name will be, a place where his name is that you will go to. And that will be the place where the Ark of the Covenant resides, and God's presence is there for the benefit of the people. Now, Moses will say, as he instructs the people, that what they will do is 3 times a year, they will go to appear before the face of God. So they're going into God's presence, and they're going up. And that's that language of going up. They are ascending to the place where God is. And so that whole image of a mountain, the mountain of God, it goes back to, of course, Sinai, Mount Sinai, where God comes to his people and his people go there, and Moses ascends up to the top to be in the presence of God, the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, where he is tangibly there in that thick, dark cloud, that whole presence there where God is with Moses, that he ascends up to the place where God is. And he's at Mount Sinai. Well, later on, when they get to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, this is where you're going to have the temple, and the people likewise will ascend. They will go up to appear before the face of God.
So this is all in the context, as we get into the details of Psalm 130, of seeking out God's mercy where his mercy has promised to dwell.
Exactly. And so it's located here, which always points to the incarnation. This is incarnational language, that it's not just any place. You don't just go anywhere that you want to. You've got to go to the place where God has promised that he would be present for your benefit. And this is tied, of course, to the Levitical sacrifices. This is tied to the Levitical priest, which, of course, is a picture and image of Christ himself, that Christ is the true high priest, that Christ is the true sacrifice, that he's the one that atones for sin. He's the one that wins this pardon, this forgiveness of sins, this remission of sins for us. And that place is going to be at the tabernacle as Moses and Aaron are going through the wilderness, but eventually it'll be in the temple that Solomon himself builds, and that will be the place where God's name is. Well, this all points to the incarnation, that that's the place where we find God, is we find God as the incarnate one. We find God in the face of Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. And this is pointing to the one who comes to dwell with us, who tabernacles with us when the Word becomes flesh, as John will say in the first chapter of his gospel.
So it starts in the depths. It begins with, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." What would you say of this?
Well, first of all, this idea of the depths, this crying out in the depths, this is going to take us back to the Exodus. And the way that it takes us back to the Exodus is in Isaiah 51, when the people are reminded about the great deliverance of God, that God is the one who is their deliverer, their redeemer. He's the one who ransoms them. He's the one who takes them out of slavery in Egypt. And they were at the brink. They were at the water there, the Red Sea, and it looked like there was nothing for them. It looked like they were now coming to an end, that God wasn't with them. And what they have, of course, is the waters and the great deeps. Well, in Isaiah 51, the Lord is going to use that image of the Exodus to teach us of the greater Exodus, the true Exodus in the incarnation, that Christ himself comes to deliver us from the deception of the devil, that he's going to take us out of captivity to sin and to death. And he'll use this in Isaiah 51 as saying, this question of meditation, that the people are petitioning God, saying, "Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over?" Now, this is that depths, the deep places in the sea. It's impossible for the people of God, by themselves, by their own effort, to deliver themselves out of the hand of Pharaoh. I mean, back at the Exodus at the Red Sea, Pharaoh has them surrounded with all of his chariots, his horsemen, his soldiers, and there's nothing they can do. All they can do is just plunge into the sea or plunge into death before Pharaoh. But it's God who makes a way in the depths of the sea. So instead of falling into the sea and drowning and dying, instead they are brought to life from the depths, and it's now a dry ground. Well, that'll be the image that will also be used in Jonah. You have Jonah himself when he is thrown into the water, and it's that great fish that swallows him up, and it's the prayer of Jonah that Jonah prays to the Lord and from the belly of this great fish. And he cries out saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the depths of Sheol, and I cried and you heard my voice." Now, of course, when we look at Jonah, we see the picture of the Christ. We see a type of Christ, one who is rejected, one who is left to die, one who is thrown down into the depths of the ocean to go down, down, down to Sheol. But he comes back again, so that this becomes the sign of the death and resurrection of Christ, that as Jonah was in the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man. And then when he's resurrected, his message of forgiveness is proclaimed to the Gentiles. Well, that this is the death and resurrection image that you see of God's prophet Jonah. It'll be the same image that you'll see in Psalm 69, in which you have the psalmist saying, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck, and I sink in this deep mire where there is no foothold, and I have come into the deep waters." You're going down, down, down to the depths, and the flood sweeps over me. And then again in Psalm 69, that same image of death and then resurrection deliverance, where you have the cry out, "Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies, from the deep waters," going all the way down to the depth, because I'm being swallowed up by this water and this flood. And that whole image of the flood and of death and of dying, but God is the one who is there in the midst of this death to deliver us, to rescue us. So what we see here in this psalm, like we've talked about before, is the image of a divine drama, where Christ himself is that high priest. He's the one who is praying this, and because he prays this, and his voice is heard, and he is heard, and he is delivered from the depths, the great depths of the deep, of the waters, of death, of Sheol, then we too are delivered out of death in Christ. So that you have the image here of that the high priest in his death and in his resurrection.
The plea is for mercy, and I'm wondering, someone says, I don't know why Christ would plead for mercy. Maybe this is something that doesn't apply to him. How would you fit it in there?
Well, again, remember that when Christ is the high priest, as the high priest, what he does is he bears the iniquities of us all, so that all of our sins, all of our transgressions are upon his shoulders. And so that picture of Aaron as the high priest, when he goes in before God's presence, that he goes to stand before God, he bears all the burdens of the people. And so everything that the people have committed, that they have transgressed against God, now it's upon Aaron's shoulders, the high priest. And so Jesus is the high priest. He's the one who takes this. He's the one who bears this. This is all placed upon him. Our iniquities become his iniquities. And so as high priest, he's crying out for the benefit of us all. This is the whole understanding of interceding, of this intercession, that the high priest stands as the mediator between God's wrath and the people's sin. And he cries out and he takes that sin away. And so here he is, he's pleading for mercy. Well, even this image of pleading for mercy, not only does Christ as high priest, not only does he earn for us the remission of sins, but he also earns for us the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So even in this image here of pleading out for mercy, because we have the Holy Spirit, as the baptized were promised as the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the continual pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon us, that we can now have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, and we can pray because we have this faith that's been given to us as a gift. And even this language of these pleas for mercy, well, this is a promise that's given in Zechariah chapter 12 of Christ and his person and work, and as Christ being the true high priest, that in Zechariah 12 you have that promise that I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. This is the same word, that this is the spirit of supplication. He's the one that allows us to pray, and in fact, Paul will even further expand on this in Romans chapter 8, that not only do we have the advocate of Jesus with the Father, but we have another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit. And in these pleas of mercy, when we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So Paul will say to the baptized in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought to, but it's the Spirit himself who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he is the one who searches out hearts and knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So that in this high priest going before the God, going before God the Father, the Son is here praying these pleas of mercy, and he's praying with us, with the Holy Spirit, as we pray for mercy, that we pray for forgiveness, that we pray that God would bestow his grace upon us, not because of anything that we have done, but all for the sake of Christ. So here you see this wonderful picture of Christ as the high priest praying this prayer, who's winning for us the remission of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, we are going to be looking at the verse of this psalm that made its way into the liturgy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. We have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Stay tuned.
Faith in American Christianity is most often seen as an act of will. It's a desire, it's an attitude, it's a habit.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran view of depression.
But what happens when you have a mental illness? Whether we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or any number of mental illnesses, all of these mess with your brain, your ability to interact with the outside world. How does God work in that kind of circumstance?
You can meet and hear Pastor Todd Peppercorn June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Choir of St. John College with Psalm 130. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Christ in the Old Testament. Psalm 130 is our text. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Brian, I think every verse of this psalm is in some form or another made its way into the worship life of the church, but the one that has made its way into kind of the regular Sunday worship is verse 3, if I'm not mistaken. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. What are your thoughts there?
Well, see, this is profound. This is why the liturgy is so unbelievably amazing. And we should rejoice in this liturgy, that the liturgy has been put together for centuries to frame for us the whole understanding of what is taking place before our eyes. That when we gather together as God's people, around his word and sacrament, and especially when we're gathering there to go before his face, because that's what we're doing. When Jesus makes that promise, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the presence, in the midst of them. His face is there. That every time we gather for the service, the divine liturgy, we go before the face of God. We're standing before him. But we can only stand before him because Jesus Christ is the high priest who stands for us, that he is the one who stands between us and the wrath of the Father because of our sin. If we were to go bare and naked without anything, without a high priest, this law would always accuse us, and we could not stand in his presence. We would be condemned. So this is the imagery and this understanding of a judicial language that you're drawing before the judge. Now, without the high priest, it's just you and the judge, and he remembers your sin. He remembers all your iniquity, and that's not a good thing. He's marking your iniquity. This language of marking is literally keeping. He's guarding. He's paying attention to all your iniquities, that he's looking at it. He's kind of looking at you, looking at your iniquities, and all he sees is all the sins that you've committed. So if you tried to stand before God by yourself, bare nakedness, you would be naked and ashamed. And in fact, that's what all idolatry does. All idolatry is just a false image of God, where you are in a false security. You think that everything is okay, but there's no peace. There's people are telling you peace, peace, when there is no peace. But this is where the Lord will always say that those who fall into idolatry, they will be put to shame. They will be stripped of everything that they try to use to cover themselves, trying to hide their iniquity, because you can't hide it before God. And so if God were to keep, to guard, to pay attention, to mark your iniquity, nobody could stand before him. But over and over again throughout the Scripture, we are assured for the sake of Christ, we can stand in God's presence because of Jesus. That being justified by Jesus, we now have peace in our conscience. We now stand before the Father. We have access now in the Holy Spirit. And that idea of standing, again, is the idea of judgment. This is the language that's used in Nahum chapter 1, when the prophet is sent out to give this very, very harsh word of law to reset these consciences that have a false image of God, to remind them that God is the true judge. No matter what the false prophets have told you, God himself is the only one who can determine what is right and wrong, good and evil, what is life and death. And so the prophet Nahum says, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken in pieces by him. That this whole understanding, you can't stand before him by yourself. You can't. But in that same passage in Nahum, he goes on to say, Yahweh is good, and he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. That you take refuge in Christ. In Christ is the high priest, and because of Christ you can stand. But again, without Christ you can't. So the Psalms will constantly tell us that without the high priest, this law is always going to accuse us, and we're always going to stand condemned and guilty before the judge. Like Psalm 76, but you are to be feared, O Yahweh. Why? Because who can stand before you once your anger is roused? We provoke God's anger because of our sin. Or even in Psalm 143, that's where David says, and pleads with God, saying, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Or ultimately, that vision that we have in Revelation, where you have the people, they're now feeling the pouring out of God's wrath, the mountains and the rocks, and they're saying to the mountains and the rocks, fall upon us and hide us, because they don't want to be in the before the face of God, the one who is sitting on the throne. And in Revelation, will say even the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? You see, right now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the time where we can hear his voice and rejoice. Today is the time where we hear the sweet news of the gospel, that Jesus right now stands as the high priest before us. But apart from Jesus, we cannot stand. We will be punished for all of our sin. And ultimately, on that last day, it's too late. On that last day, if you don't have Christ, all you have is the judge, and all you have is the wrath, as we say in the Creed, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. But yet right now is the day of salvation, where we hear this gospel message that Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that bears us. He's the one that gives us access to the Father. And every time we gather at the Divine Liturgy, we are assured of this whole entire courtroom, that we now stand forgiven, that we are innocent. We are pardoned of all our sin for the sake of Jesus. And that's why we gather together to rejoice and to sing of the wonderful things he has done to bring to us this great gift of salvation.
The theme here that emerges by way of kind of how that salvation is shaped in this Psalm 130 is the idea of redemption. Reacquaint us with that, what that Old Testament idea shows us of Christ.
Yeah, here this idea of redemption here, Pada, this is a ransom. I like to use that word ransom just to clarify the distinction between a ransom and redemption, which is a Gaal, or the Goel, the Redeemer. But here he's the one who redeems us. He purchases us. And this is the language that you have going back into Deuteronomy, that he's the one who brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he's the one who has ransomed us from the house of slavery. That idea that he has paid the price, that he's the one who has taken the ransom. He's paid it for us. Or this is even the language that we use in Psalm 31, where our sins are not counted against us in Psalm 32, but in Psalm 31, remember, these are the words at the cross where Jesus says, "Into your hands I commend my spirit, I commit my spirit, for you have ransomed me, you've redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Well, that's what we'll use in the prayer at the close of the day in the liturgy of the church, where we can go before God and pray before him. And when we're praying, because Jesus, the high priest who prays with us, that we have been ransomed, we have been redeemed, and now we stand with Jesus, and Jesus stands with us, and therefore we can pray, and he hears our prayer. That language of the ransomed, you'll see this in both Isaiah 35 and 51. It's repeated twice, but it's the ransomed of Yahweh. They're the ones who are going to return. They're the ones who are going to come to Zion with singing. And when we talk about this psalm is the ascent of going up to the temple, this is kind of what we're doing every time we gather at the divine liturgy, that we're going up and we are in the presence of God, that ultimately we will all, the faithful, will join together in the feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. And so now we gather together and we're singing. We're rejoicing. We're filled with joy and gladness because of what he's done. So we sing and we praise him. That's the sacrifice of praise. So that's that Eucharistic sacrifice, that out of thanksgiving we proclaim the wonderful things that he has done. He has ransomed us. He has paid the price. We cannot pay the price for ourselves. And because he's paid the price, he has won for us the forgiveness of sins. And he gives this to us. He bestows this upon us freely, this free gift of God.
Finally here, with only about a minute or so, there is, in fact, just a minute, there is this notion of hopeful waiting, about 30 seconds, I'd say.
Yeah, so what will happen is, throughout the scriptures, ever since you have Genesis 49, we are to wait for the salvation of Yahweh. And so we are to wait. We are to hope. We have this present reality right now, the promises of God, and we cling to these by faith. But then we wait and anticipate for these things into the future when they will be fully made manifest. So now we have it, but we live by faith now, and we wait and we hope for the future glory to be revealed to us in the resurrection of the body, where we no longer have any sin at all.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation. Rod Dreher, author of the new book, The Benedict Option, will be our guest. We'll get a review of the movie King Kong, Skull Island, from Pastor Ted Giese. And it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We will talk about what he's calling Passover pickpockets. Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part today by Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you've put off getting your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree, wait no more. Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University, Wisconsin online logo. You'll see it right there. And enter the promo code ISSUES, I-S-S-U-E-S, and they'll waive your application fee. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin, online. We'll be talking with Rod Dreher tomorrow, and when we spend some time with him, we're going to be asking some big questions about how Christians live in the culture. Do we live in it and thoroughly immersed? Do we live of the culture? Or do we isolate ourselves from that culture? We'll dispel some of the myths about the Benedict Option with Rod Dreher tomorrow on Issues Etc. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.